The moment you decide to look outside of yourself for value is the moment you give your rights away to be authentically you. Your value is not in what your mother thinks of you, what your father thinks of you, what your family and friends think of you. Your value is what you think of yourself. That is the secret to authentically loving and being you.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in to Soul Food with Sadie. You guys, this is season 4, and I'm very excited about season 4 because it's all about me, all about my growth, all about my transformation. And I really want you guys to really know the steps that I've taken to be the person that I am destined to be. So on season 4, which is going to be called The Metamorphosis of Me, The Metamorphosis of Sadie Evans. Do y'all hear how that sounds? The Metamorphosis of Sadie Evans. And when we think about the metamorphosis, we think about a butterfly, and we think about all the things that a butterfly has to go through in order to get those wings and fly. When a butterfly is a caterpillar, it's ugly. Like, I don't even like looking at caterpillars. They are just, like, not cute. But when you see a butterfly pass you by, or you see a butterfly land on your chair, and you look at it and you see the many different shapes, you see the many different colors that it has, you begin to realize how beautiful the process had to be in order for that butterfly to get those wings. So I want to talk about the beauty in my process to become the woman that I'm destined to be. So I want to talk about how I discovered my purpose. But before I can talk about that, let me give y'all a little background about myself. I am someone who took the obstacles that I was born into to build a staircase to my success. I'm someone that knew from a very young age that I was destined for greatness. I can remember being 8 years old, being in the kitchen with my grandmother, because I loved to stay in the kitchen with her when she cooked. I loved it. And that's probably why I got a little skills now. But nonetheless, I can remember being 8 years old, being in the kitchen, and I would have this vision of this lady, and she was really beautiful, she was really successful, and she was really, really sweet. I can remember that, and I never knew who this woman was, and I began to have visions about her all the time, and those visions would literally stop me in my tracks because I wanted to know who this woman was. She was just everything that I ever desire to be in life. Even at that young age, I knew I wanted to be like this woman, but I didn't know how to get there because I didn't have a standard to measure. But I realized that this was something I was seeing for a reason. I just couldn't put my finger on that reason. Well, as I began to age, I ended up having a child when I was 16 years old. That really made me feel like I didn't have any value. People would tell me, oh, your life is over. People would tell me you're never going to amount to anything. A host of other things that people would tell me because I had this child at 16. Heck, I didn't even know who I was. So having a baby at 16, I had no idea how I was going to raise this child. But what I did know is that this child would love me unconditionally. And I did know that it could possibly keep me and my child's father together, because that's what he told me. And a lot of us are told them things, and we quickly realize that it's not true. I was a teen mom that was abused, so I ended up getting in these relationships that I would be abused by men. I would let men cheat on me. I would let men put their hands on me, and I would literally stay and fight for that relationship. Talk about having no value. I felt like my life was not worth anything, so I felt like I deserved all those bad things that happened to me because I never had anyone pour goodness into me. So I didn't know how to accept it if it did come. So what better way than to stay complacent with abuse and name-calling and hate, you know? I didn't want to be there, but I didn't know how to get my way out. Well, as life continued to go by, I ended up getting in a relationship where my life was almost taken from me, and I literally got punched in the face. I can remember standing there looking at myself in the mirror, and as I'm looking at myself, I don't see a person. I don't see a person at all as I'm looking at myself. I see residue. And when I say residue, I mean, I see the residue of my past. I see the residue of my self-hate. I see the residue of lust as I'm looking in this mirror at myself. And at that moment, I knew that it was time for me to really love myself, but I didn't know how. So I did know that I wanted to get to Georgia. I don't know why. I feel like the Holy Spirit was telling me, like, you have to get there. So I booked the ticket, a flight, and I came down here and I landed a job in a place, and I felt like this was the place for me. I felt like this was home. So I eventually graduated college and moved my children down to Georgia. While we were down here, it was not pretty, okay? Because I didn't understand the childcare system down here. Like, literally, I realized quickly that you either get with it or you get homeless. And I knew that I could not be homeless with my children. So on my journey, God was so faithful to place people in my life that made me realize that, okay, you could take a break. You don't have to work right now, because for one, you can't afford child. And for two, sometimes you just need to take a break and really sit down with yourself and figure out who you are. Why are you here on this earth? What purpose you are supposed to serve. So I was able to take a little break. And while on that break, I can remember my entire life flashing before my eyes. And I can remember saying, how did this happen? I can remember saying, I know that I'm not the person that I'm supposed to be. I know that my life does not have value. These are all the things that I said to myself. And these are all the things that we say to ourselves when we don't feel loved, when we don't feel lovable, when we don't have people in our corner to push us and tell us that we are worth something. I remember being in the car because we had stayed in between churches until my place came available. And as we were staying in between churches, I can remember being at the park one morning. It was early in the morning. I can remember sitting back in my seat, and I was like, I had tears coming out of my eyes, and I was just like, God, why am I here? Like, what am I supposed to do here on earth? Like, why? And I can remember a man coming over to my car. I'm like, what do he want? That's the first thing, negative thing that came to my mind is, what do he want? And as he's coming over there, I'm turning, I'm like, hi, you know? And he's like, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? I said, sure. He begins to pray for me, and he stops and he gave me a prophetic word. He said, God is about to rapidly push you into your purpose. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Because when life is hard, we don't realize that our life still has purpose. And we don't understand the process that it takes to get to the purpose, because sometimes it's really, really painful. Literally, I left there. I'm going to Walmart to get me and the kids some snacks, Lunchables to eat in the car, because we survived off of Lunchables. And as I'm coming out the store, my phone rings and I answer, and the lady's like, hey, Sadie, I have some great news. Your apartment is available today. You can come pick up the keys. The first thing that came to my mind was that man saying what he said to me, that prophetic word had showed itself faithful, but I still didn't know my purpose. Although I thought my purpose at that time was to get a roof over my head and my children's head so we could be safe in this state that I knew nothing about. But I want to rewind a little bit and talk about my journey to Georgia. When I was on the highway headed to Georgia, I remember being in Tennessee and my spirit said, stop at a Pizza Hut. Just like that. And so strategic and just like that. And I'm like, a Pizza Hut? So I Google and I get off the highway. It was the next exit. I get off the highway. It was a gas station. And down the street from that gas station was a Pizza Hut. Mind you, I had some wishful thinking. Although I had money in my pocket, I still had a wishful thought that came to my head. And I'm like, what if somebody just give me money? That's the thought that came to my head. So I'm in Pizza Hut. This lady is staring. Mind you, I have 5 children. And my children are little at this time. I have a whole baby in a car seat and then another baby, 2 kids in diapers, okay? Literally, the lady is staring at me. I'm like, what is she staring at? But I never say it. I just smile and say, hey, because that's just my personality. So I told my kids, because I was just sick of her staring, I said, let's go to the bathroom, wash your hands so we can go. As we coming out of the bathroom, the lady is standing at the bathroom door and she was like, God told me to give you this. And I'm looking like, give me what? And in her hand was money. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't take your money. And she's like, but you have to, because it's tied to my obedience. Obedience, obedient, obedient. Her giving me money was tied to her obedience? So you mean to tell me if I would have not taken the money, it would have caused her to be disobedient? Yes, yes. Yeah. So I took the money and my son says to me, and he's about, I think, 9 years old at this time. And he said, Mom, do you see how good God is? So that was his first real experience on the goodness of God. I told that story because I just want to make sure that I'm allowing you guys to see how God had grace on my life and mercy on my life the whole time because of my obedience to move when he said move to Georgia. I'm in Georgia. We get in the place. Everything's going good. Then the pandemic hit. And during the pandemic, God would not allow any door to open for me. I mean, no door will open for me. Online jobs, nothing will break for me in my life. And I was trying to figure out why would nothing break in my life. And as I'm sitting there, God brought it back to my attention that he had told me to write this book. And I remember fighting with the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm not writing that book. I'm not putting these people in my business. They don't need to know, because it just feel better to keep up this facade. It feel better to be somebody that I'm not. It feel better to operate out of imposter syndrome. It just felt better to me. But God wouldn't allow no door to open for me until I wrote that book. And that book is called The Cries from a Gracefully Broken Woman. And I remember writing that book. And I remember God bringing things back to my remembrance as I wrote that book. And I remember crying out, shaking, almost feeling like I was gonna die when I wrote that book, because I was dealing with my mess and I was exposing things that I had held on for years. I was exposing things that were weighing me down. I was exposing things that was ultimately gonna kill me. And I did not realize that it was all a process to get me to my purpose. So I ended up publishing that book. The first time I published it, it went terrible. Like, literally the publishing company, their edits was terrible at that time. However, I did not give up because I knew that God had gave me that vision. And I believed God for that vision. And I knew that if I did not fulfill that, nothing was gonna break for my life. I did that, and then I remember my ex being in prison. And he called me from prison, and I found out he had a woman pregnant. Talk about can't eat, can't sleep, can't breathe. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, and I could not breathe. However, I laid down, and I was just so hurt. And I was even hurt even though this man had physically abused me, broke my tooth, and so much more. Like, I was so hurt because I found my value in being his woman. I found my value in sexing him. I found my value in cooking for him. I found my value in being belittled by him. And a lot of us people find our value in others because we don't feel like we have value because someone has told us that. Someone has planted that seed in us when we were younger. Somebody has planted that seed in us because they didn't believe in themselves. And we have begun to let that seed grow by the things that we do in our life. But I come to tell you right now that your life has value. And I'm going to remind you your life has value because I laid down. And when I laid down and I began to weep out to the Lord and cry to God and tell God, heal me till it does not hurt anymore. I no longer prayed for him to make him to not cheat on me. I no longer prayed for him to mold him into the man I wanted him to be. I prayed that God would heal me until it did not hurt anymore. I was tired of hurting. And when I was dozing off, I heard the Holy Spirit say, learn to love thyself. And I literally went on a 60-day spiritual surgery journey, and I documented it. And that is how I birthed my second and third book, Learning to Love Thyself Journal and Learning to Love Thyself Devotional. And I'm gonna say it again, that is how you know that there is a process to your purpose. That's how you know your pain will become your purpose one day if you allow it to be. I remember writing that, publishing that, getting that out there, and getting the feedback from so many people that said this journal really helped me plant seeds and love myself, all because I was not closed-minded to the pain that I had endured in my life. I mean, I was embarrassed of things that I went through. I feel embarrassed talking about it right now, but I know it is my duty. I know it's attached to my call. I know it's attached to my obedience. I know it's attached to my abundance, because if I don't be obedient to God and speak this and tell you guys the journey it took for me to get there, guess what? I would be hindering someone from becoming the very best version of themselves. So the journals got published. I remember having no money in my bank account, but I had to go take my son somewhere, or I had to do something. And I literally don't remember exactly what, a grocery store or something. And I did not have gas. And I went to the gas station. I put my credit card in knowing I had no money, and it approved it. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm sitting in the car and I'm crying at this point. I'm crying and every part of my body is aching because I had held on to all this stuff and I was still holding on to it. Although I had published these books, although I had wrote these books, I was still holding on to the shame that was attached to it. And I remember saying, God, I know you didn't bring me this far to let me die. And that's when I heard the Holy Spirit say, spiritual warfare. I'm like, spiritual warfare? What is spiritual warfare? What is spiritual warfare? So I began to study it, and it was everything that I had went through, everything that I was going through. And I was able to try and break that off my life. I just couldn't. I didn't know why I was in this up and down cycle where one moment I'm doing so good for myself, and then the next moment I'm feeling like, oh, you're not deserving of this. One moment I'm sick in my body because the shame is eating me alive, because a lot of times we don't realize that things that we hold on to become sicknesses in our body. A lot of times we like to say, oh, God is punishing me. No, God is not punishing you. God wants you to release those things, but when we don't release those things, it began to manifest itself in different things in our body. And then we began to get headaches. We began to get stomach issues. We began to get pains in our body because we're holding on to all this stuff that God designed for us to release in order to help somebody else. Everything that I'm telling you is because I'm letting you know that the journey to becoming who you're destined to be, the metamorphosis of you, is dependent on you to release yourself from shame, from guilt, from fear, all of those things. Because if you don't, you will see these things manifest in different areas of your life. Overspending because you're trying to fill a void. Opening your legs to different people because you're trying to find your value. Headaches, sickness in your body because you're holding on to guilt. You're holding on to shame. You're holding on to fear. So you have an anxiety attack and panic attack. Listen, I've been through all that. All of that. And I'm not out the clear because I still battle with that because I am not all the way there and I won't pretend to be all the way there. This is the metamorphosis of me. So as I record these episodes and as I pour out to you guys, I'm literally going through my transformation, going through my metamorphosis. I might be further than someone. I might be behind someone, but that none of that matters. What matters is you take the seeds that I'm giving you and you utilize them to become the best version of yourself. You take what's for you and you leave the rest for others. While on this journey, after publishing these books, and after really hearing from God, I remember getting to a point in my life where things were so good. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm living in the overflow. That was my first thought, is me living in the overflow. Doors were opening for me. Everywhere I went, people would see my fruit without me having to even open my mouth. But on the inside, I was still feeling like I was not hearing from God because I started to have issues in my home with my children. And I had to really realize that, again, that was spiritual warfare. But I wasn't clear from that. I remember laying in the bed. I was on the phone with my friend, and I told my friend how I was not hearing from God the way that I wanted to hear from God. And she was like, oh my God, me either. So I was like, Lord, why ain't I hearing from you? Why ain't you showing yourself to me? And literally, as I'm dozing off, because I'm a person that have visions. So as I'm dozing off, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, this is a faith walk. This is a faith walk. This is not a walk where you only walk when you feel like you feel the Lord or you feel like you see his signs and his wonders. No. Faith. What is faith? The evidence of things not seen. Okay, so the Holy Spirit had to remind me that, are you going to walk it out? Are you going to believe? Are you going to trust even when you don't feel his presence? Are you going to have faith that he is never going to take his grace, that he's never going to take his mercy from you? And from that day forward, I realized that this is a faith walk. I can't sit around and not move just because I don't feel his presence. I can't stop praying because I feel like I'm not hearing from him. I gotta press through that silent season, because that silent season is teaching me how to rely on my faith. Yes, that season of silence is teaching me how to strictly rely on my faith, because this is a faith walk. I was in the kitchen, and as I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking. And as I'm cooking, I turn around. And when I turn around, I see this 8-year-old girl. At that moment, God let me know and confirm that I'm that woman that I used to see when I was 8 years old. And at first I fought against it. I'm like, I can't, because that woman was so different from the woman that I'm seeing right now. But the Holy Spirit reminded me that I was looking at the exterior. And as a child, we look at the exterior. We don't know much about the interior yet. So God was giving me the vision of the exterior. But as a grown woman, a seasoned woman in my walk, it was about the interior. So I was that woman. And everything that I had been through in my life, everything that God allowed me to overcome, every word that was spoken, every fear that I had, every shame, every guilt, all of that was meant for me, because it allowed me to walk in my purpose. Let me leave this nugget with you guys. Your purpose is anything that brings you joy. Your purpose is anything that you're allowed to overcome. Your purpose is reaching back and touching the hands, the hearts, and the minds of someone that may have gone through or is going through what you was allowed to overcome. Your purpose is not something you have to search for. Your purpose is something that you are required to be silent in order to hear, in order to see, in order to get the confirmation that you need that you are serving it. A lot of people want their purpose to be something that literally brings them all this fame and this fortune. But sometimes your purpose is literally saving one, maybe two souls, because those one or two souls can go back and save 5 to 10 souls, and those 5 and 10 could save 15 to 20, and it just grow. And because you were operating in your purpose, you have now changed the world. So stop looking out the outside of you for your purpose, and be silent and search the inside of you, so that you can be the person that you know that you were designed to be, so that you can know that everything that you've went through in life was a process to get you to your purpose. Thank you all for tuning in to Soul Food with Sadie. I'm so happy that season 4 is going to transform lives. Take the seeds that are for you and leave the rest for others. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Soul Food with Sadie. I am thankful for health in my body, peace in my mind, ears to hear and eyes to see. I am thankful for hands to write, legs and feet to stand, and wisdom to understand the gems that were given unto me today. I am thankful that I can create a strategy that I can implement into my life. I am thankful I am divinely created for such a time as this. I will be thankful for the small things, because the small things are only preparing me for the bigger things that are coming into my life.